We left off the previous year, so we were discussing about what exactly is included, what activities are included in Teishu Kein Taduru. So we said, first and foremost is Achila, and then the Gemara says also, Sheina, the person has to sleep in the Sukkah. And there was an age-old question as to, we're looking around our communities, and we don't always see everybody sleeping in the Sukkah, so what's going on? So the Ramah already made this observation, and the Ramah offers two Limudei Schusim, the people not sleeping in the Sukkah. Some of these limudim may apply for us, some of them may not apply to us. Let's try to see, analyze what the Ramah is based on. So the Ramah writes, one is very, very simple. The most simple, straightforward kula is that it's too cold. And the Ramah says, we live in Poland, we live in Krakow. It's not exactly Eretz Yisrael. In the middle of October, it's snowing in Krakow. I remember my grandmother, Hashem, used to tell me that it was normal, but it would always snow. And by Sukkot time already in Poland, it was already snowing. It's freezing. So the Ramah says, it's hot enough for us to eat in the Sukkot. To sleep in the Sukkot is mamish mitztayer. And the Gemara says, mitztayer is potter in a Sukkot. How do you know mitztayer is potter in a Sukkot? Mitztayer is not potter from Lulav, not potter from Shofar. My height of mitztayer is potter from doing a mitzvah. So Tosfos writes, it must be also based on Teishu Kein Taduru. The Torah says that you have to live in your sukkah like a normal person lives in their house. So if I would be in my house and it would be 40 below in my house, I would leave my house and go to another person's house. So whenever a person is so uncomfortable in the sukkah that kayetze, but he would leave his own home, so he's not going to be obligated in sukkah. So therefore the Ramah writes that it's hard enough to eat in the sukkah. Eating, you throw another coat on, another sweater on, sleeping is really, really hard. And therefore, if it's too cold, one would be potter. That was the Ramah's limud chos. There's a little bit of a problem with that limud chos because there is a shita of the Rav Yoh, the Mordechai Kvotz Rav Yoh, that says that when you build the sukkah, so the sukkah has to be like your bayis, and it has to be roi lekach l'chol inyan edira. So the Rav Yoh writes, let's say you build your sukkah in a place where it's impossible to sleep. Why is it impossible to sleep? Because it's dangerous. So you have two places where to build your sukkah. You either build it, in the back, somewhere on top of the roof, somewhere where it's safe, or you're going to build it right smack in the front of the house in a dangerous neighborhood. So the Rav Yoh says, if you're going to build it in a place where it's impossible, it's not safe for you to sleep there, so the Rav Yoh says that you can't be yet to even eating in that sukkah. Why? Because the sukkah has to be like a house, and nobody would ever build a house that's only royal kach eating. House is built for cold tzarchei adira. That's a big chiddush. Not everyone agrees to this Rav Yoh, but according to this Rav Yoh, we have a problem. If the Ramah is right that it's so freezing cold in Poland in October, and it's impossible to sleep in the sukkah, so how can we ever be even eating the sukkah? The Ramah ate in the sukkah. The Ramah made a bracha leish when he ate in the sukkah. So once you're willing to say that's not royal kach shena, so doesn't that undermine very status as a bias, as a mokum dira, if you're not even yetzi achila? So the Mishnah Berurah presents two solutions to this dilemma. So Mishnah Berurah says that b'mendav amamurim, that a sukkah that's not roi lekach for a shena, for sleeping, is not considered to be a sukkah. That's when you had an option available to you to build it in a safe place. I had two places to build my quote-unquote house. I can either build my house in a place where I can't sleep, or build my house in a place where I can sleep. So that's what the Rav Yoh is saying, that no Meshuggah would ever build a house in a place where he can't sleep. So that's a chisorn in the Yetzem Shem Dira of the Sukkah. And therefore that Sukkah is not kosher, even for Echila. But what if you have no choice? What if all places are dangerous? Well, you live in a terrible neighborhood, and no matter where you're going to build the Sukkah, it's dangerous to sleep in. So Mishnah Berurah says, so that's okay. Says, I didn't go out of my way deliberately to build a Sukkah in a place that's not fit for Shena. There was no place to build. So imagine a guy comes to a neighborhood. It's a terrible, terrible neighborhood. And no name. He's not safe anywhere. So what are you going to do? So he does as best as he can. So he won't be able to sleep comfortably because he's dangerous. But at least he'll be able to eat comfortably. He'll feel comfortable when he's eating. So the Rav Yoh apostle to Sukkah because it's not royal Shena. That's when you had another option. There's another option. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says here also. That if you have a sukkah in a freezing cold climate, what do you want for the guy? So he can't sleep anywhere. At least could you build a house for eating? So the sukkah would still be kosher. The Eidish Lev, the Mishnah Berurah says, is that, what do you mean it's too cold to sleep in a sukkah? It's not true. If you get a blanket, and get another blanket, and get another blanket, and get 15 heaters, and wear a couple of anti-slice sweatshirts, and cover your head well, so it'll be warm enough, you'll be able to sleep. You're not mechuyav to do that, because Teishu Kein Taduru means you have to go to the sukkah like normally. If you have to go to the sukkah and bring in 15,000 blankets and sweaters and sweatshirts, and you're not mechuyav to do all that. But you could do all that. In theory, you could do all that. What Walter of Yom meant to say is, if you live in a place where it's impossible to sleep, you're afraid you're going to get killed. It's a terrible and dangerous neighborhood. You're afraid you're going to get killed there. So that's called the sukkah. That's not royal kachle de sheda. But if the sukkah is theoretically royal kachle de sheda, so that it would be acceptable. So the bottom line is, the Ramah is willing to accept this theory that when it's too cold out, for sleeping purposes, so you're going to be exempt from sleeping. On the other hand, you're still going to be chayv in achila. And that's the Ramah's limitchus for the people in Poland who are not sleeping in the sukkah. Then the Ramah's another tremendous, because the first point that he said was not to be chiddush, that was already an issue, already a gemara, but it's not about the sukkah that we already know. It was just an application of that principle. Then the Ramah comes up with a brand new idea, and the Ramah says that in the olden days, some people had a lot of room, people lived in Eretz Yisrael, people had farms, had lands, people had a lot of areas to build the sukkahs. Whereas in Poland, anyone ever been in Krakow? Anyone in Krakow, where Ramah lived? Krakow's a tiny place. The Jewish community, the Jewish part of Krakow, was a little three-floor streets, the whole thing. You can go there today. There's nothing to it. So the Ramah says that we don't have any room to build private sukkahs anymore. So what they did, they used to do in Krakow, they used to do in Poland, was they would have these communal sukkahs. Like many people live in Manhattan here, they don't have them. Where do you guys live? Everyone has private sukkahs. Okay, so I grew up in an apartment building. So you live in an apartment building, who has private sukkahs in an apartment building? We used to have a public downstairs in the parking lot. So we would take two parking spots. One belonged to somebody from, and the other one we traded another spot. We needed two spots next to each other. So we had two spots, and we had 10 families, and we chipped in, we bought a big sukkah, and that was the sukkah. So we'd have a communal sukkah, says there, Ramah. Where are you going to sleep there? Well, all the men are going to go sleep there. They're going to go sleep there with their wives. The din is teshukei tadur. Teshukei tadur means you have to sleep in a normal way. So you're married, so you sleep with your wife in your house. So now you're going to go to the sukkah. So to sleep without your wife there, that's not teshukei tadur. To sleep with your wife there would be a terrible breach of tzedias. So the after Ramah says, what are you doing? You're potter. So if there's no place to sleep, your wife can't come. It's not tzedias. You can't sleep there. Those are the two kulas of the Ramah. So the Vilna Gaon disagrees vehemently with the second kula. The Vilna Gaon is not arguing with the cold. He's arguing, and Lithuania was even colder, so further north, it was colder than it was in Poland. So the Vilna Gaon is arguing with the second statement. The Vilna Gaon says he never heard of such a thing. That the din is that has to be came to Duru. Whoever heard of such a thing, if your wife doesn't come, so you put from Sukkah, make a taisi. Either convince her to come, or if she can't come, she can't come. You're still bukhuf to go eat in the Sukkah. You're still bukhuf to go sleep in the Sukkah. So the Gaon said he never heard of such a thing. So yesh v'yesh, so there are different customs, different practices in Klal Yisrael today. So there are more rites that in his days, only the Medachtikim, one of the people who are very, very, very makbar in mitzvahs, would sleep in the sukkah. Everybody else would rely on one of these two kulas. So the question is, do these kulas really apply for us? It depends where we live. In Eretz Yisrael, obviously the first kula is absurd. Obviously it doesn't apply for us. In Eretz Yisrael, it's beautiful, warm, in October, 70 degrees at night. So obviously that's not going to be a kula. What about in America? Depends where you live. You live in Florida, it's not going to apply. You live in sunny Southern California, it's not going to apply. You live in New York, you live in Boston, you live in Minnesota, so then maybe it's going to depend. So I could tell you New York, New Jersey area, it depends. It depends on the year, it depends on the night, it depends on what it is. Some nights it's very, very cold. I always have machlokes with my boys as to what the threshold of cold is. I'm older, so my bones get colder faster. So my kids can sleep in the second, well into the 40 degrees. As it starts to dip beneath those 50s, that it gets too chilly for me. So you put in a bunch of blankets, a bunch of extra sweatshirts, and shine. My kids always laugh at me because I'll walk into the sukkah to go to sleep. So I'll go, I'm wearing a big hoodie. It's the only time that I wear my answer sweatshirt. I have a big hooded sweatshirt. I have a big YU sweatshirt. And I got my sweatpants, and I got my extra pairs of socks, and I got 16 blankets. And my kids will come in like in shorts with under a sheet or something. So, yesh v'yesh. The goal is, first, has to be comfortable. I wonder why I wake up in the morning under a puddle of sweat, overheated. Anyway, so the first kula of cold depends on the case. But it's important to point out that first kula of cold is probably only going to apply at night, it's not going to apply in the daytime. The din is you have to take a nap, it's mostly not allowed to sleep in the sukkah. So a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people think, oh, I don't see, my meaning is I don't sleep in the sukkah, it's too cold for me. It's too cold for you at night, what about in the afternoon? You take a Shabbos, Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed nap. It's 70 degrees outside. It's perfectly warm, balmy, nice, comfortable sukkah. So then about the milchif to sleep in the sukkah in the daytime. So people should be more makbar in the day than at night. The other cool about married, so again, the Ramah had it. The Gra didn't accept it. The Ram didn't really accept it. Mishnah Berurah doesn't really accept it. Many people questioned this cool of the Ramah. So in Eretz Yisrael, most people don't rely on that kula. In America, a lot of people do rely on that kula. So yesh v'yesh. But I tell people that even if they rely on this kula, the wife is not comfortable sleeping there. Even though most of us have private sukkahs, our wives don't want to sleep outside. They're not interested in sleeping outside. So when your wife says she doesn't want to sleep outside, some of the male, according to the Ramah's reasons, so the person by definition is potter. So even according to those who follow the kula of the Ramah, I don't think they have a right to rely on that for naps in the afternoon. People are not so devoted. They'll never take a Shabbos nap if the wife's not here. So most of the time, forget, when you have little kids, it's always that way. You take a nap half the afternoon, your wife takes a nap the other half, so someone's got to watch the kids. So that's not considered to be a teshuva kain tadur. So again, even those who want to rely on these kulas of the Ramah have to be very, very careful. They don't overdo it. I don't think these kulas will apply most of the time during the daytime. And even at night, if you're a bachar and it's warm, so then there's nothing to rely on. Unless your parents aren't happy. Unless your mother's nervous. I used to be in the sukkah. So Rav Adi Yosef is a rabbi cool. He writes that normally if a parent tells you not to do mitzvah, you're not supposed to listen to them, but sukkah is different. Why? Because sukkah, you always have the p'tur of teshuva kain taduru. You have to live in the sukkah like you live in a normal house. If your mother would say to you, I don't want to sleep in that room. I have sisters sleep in a different room. You'd be a good son, a good respectful son. But you listen to her. So your mother says, don't sleep in the sukkah. So for me, it's chametzdar. For me, it's not teshuva kain taduru anymore. So you have to, if your mother is very upset, very nervous, I sleep in the sukkah, so then don't sleep in the sukkah.
So why would the wife ever be mechayev to sleep in
the sukkah? She's not mechayev to him. She doesn't have to, but if she wants to be nice, you know, her husband else, so she'll sleep in the sukkah. But a lot of wives were very nice, but they don't want to sleep in the sukkah.
What about animals that aren't necessarily dangerous?
Yeah, so it depends. So you have to try to build your sukkah in a way that's not going to be invaded by animals. So that's one of the problems with the canvas sukkahs. So besides some of the other issues with them, is that they're not so safe in terms of animals. So I had a choice. We have a sturdy sukkah, a real sukkah that close the door so nothing can get in. I was going to climb with the schach. I know. I've been sleeping for many years and I never climbed through the schach. But people who sleep in canvas sukkahs have raccoons and other assorted animals, which is definitely it's dangerous. So I don't know that it would be more would be potter under those circumstances. Okay.
What about like noise issues?
Right. Even things that really bother you. Again, it's subject to the regular rules of mitzvah. So sometimes it can be very, very hot. You know, one year it was like 90 degrees. So it could be very hot at night. Or California, remember, he's been in California all the time. Sometimes it can get very, very warm in the sukkah. So that can also be mitzvah. Or if you have a skunk, the skunk just sprayed. So if it smells the same bad in the house as in the sukkah, then that's not a tour mitzvah. But usually it smells better inside than outside. So inside you close the windows, outside you're stuck. So if it's something that's really mitzvah, that really bothers you, so then we'll report it. Had a kula last year, ends of the sukkah last year, because I was very, very nervous because it was the heart of the second wave of COVID at that time. And the rules in the shul were very clear that if you have a cough, you have a sneeze, you have a sort of anything, so you kick up the shul. You know, everyone's right and left, or chashash, you have to go run and get a corona test before you walk back into the shul. So very often, if you sleep outside in the cold, you get a little sniffles, you get a little sore throat, you get a little cough, you know, something. You start to sound like chakras here, maybe here. So I was very nervous. I thought that was like a shtickle mitzvah, that under the unique circumstances of a chashash, not that I think I'm going to get COVID from sleeping in the sukkah, but I'm going to get the cold, I'm going to get bronchitis from sleeping in the sukkah, which I'm not going to be able to know what it was. And I'm going to miss davening for all I got because I'm sniffling, because I'm coughing. So I thought that was enough mitzvah to say that's like a shtickle mitzvah part of the sukkah. I wouldn't sleep in my house under those circumstances, under these unique circumstances. Drop that up to another COVID cooler for last year. Hopefully, don't pray things will. Deltas will be overbottled at that point, and hopefully, we hope and pray that we're back to normal this year. Okay. When it comes to eating the sukkah, so we mentioned yesterday, the Mishnah says you have to eat in the sukkah, but only if you eat X amount of food, either, you know. Bread or maybe a tagima, the right amount, kibbutz, whatever the shear is. Let's say a person is not interested in eating that kind of food. Guy wants to eat an apple, so you don't really have to eat the sukkah. Guy wants to have a very, very small piece of cake, much less than a kibbutz. Then you don't really have to eat it in the sukkah. If you want to eat the sukkah, that's a beautiful, wonderful thing, without a bracha, according to the Ravina Tam. But in terms of real chiyuv, you don't have to. But theoretically, a person could circumvent the entire mitzvah sukkah the whole week. every day. I won't have bread, I won't have mezonos, I'll just have fruit and vegetables and a piece of chicken or something, you know, according to those who say that's paltoi. So theoretically, you can circumvent the whole mitzvah. So the Gemara says, yeah, you really can. The Gemara says, it's like a dira, teishu gei tadiru, badiri bo yochli bo lawachel. If let's say I'm home during the week and I don't want to eat so much, I don't want to have cake this week, I don't want to have mezonos, I don't want to have cereal, I'll have shahakol cereal, I'll have fruit, vegetables. So technically speaking, I don't have to eat in the sukkah. So the Gemara says that's true, that's correct, with the exception of the first night of sukkah. So chutz lots the first 2 nights. Why is the first night different? So the Gemara says we have a special tradition. Halacha Moshe Simei Gzeri Shava. The Torah says chamisha asar by Pesach. It says chamisha asar by Sukkis. So just as vis-a-vis the 15th night of Nisan, you have to eat kazayis and matzah. Matzah is not an option; it's an absolute obligation. So to the first night of Sukkot, it's an absolute obligation. And you can't take that attitude. Hey, I'm not hungry tonight. I'll just eat some fruit tonight. You have a chuyav min haTorah to eat in the Sukkot. As derived from the Chag HaMatzos. So it's a big machlekes in Mishnayim about what the nature of that halacha is, that it's derived from Chag HaMatzos. So one can understand that in two ways. Either one can understand that it's derived, the fact that you mechuyav to do it is derived from Pesach, but it's really a mitzvah sukkah. It's the same exact identical mitzvah sukkah with all the rules and regulations that govern sukkah. The only quirk of the difference is the rest of the week you don't have to if you don't eat appropriate foods. On the first night you have no choice, but b'ikaron it's still a mitzvah mishnah with sukkah. Or maybe no. Maybe this is not the mitzvah Yishuv Sukkah. It's not the mitzvah Yishuv Sukkah. This is a different mitzvah. It's a new mitzvah called Achilas bread. Where? In the Sukkah. On the first night of Pesach, you have to have a kezayis of matzah. On the first night of Sukkah, you have to have a kezayis of bread, or matzah, in the Sukkah. But it's not really a mitzvah of Yishuv Sukkah. It's a mitzvah Achila Basukkah. My nafkamina, it's Achila Basukkah Yishuv Sukkah. So what do nafkamina do? You have a Torah mitzvah or not? If it's very uncomfortable, so you're about to go out to the sukkah on the first night, and the skunk just sprayed. Or it's very, very, very hot, very, very uncomfortable. So, if it would be a regular day of sukkah, so you don't have to teish okay to do it, you're potter. So some Rishonim say, you're also potter on the first night, you're also potter, teish okay to do it. Another Rishonim say, no, you're not potter on the first night. The first night is different, because the first night is achila. The first night's like matzah. Let's say I'm sitting in my house on Pesach, and it's very, very hot. So I don't eat matzah, it's a joke. Bitzah is not a p'tor from mitzvah. Bitzah is a p'tor from sukkah. It's not a p'tor from achila. So that's a big thing about the Rishonim. So that machlokes the Rishonim sets the stage for the major question: what do you do if Chas Shalom rains on the first night of sukkah? So you eat in this, out of this, or the part of the whole story. Hope that's the next year we'll pick this up on Sunday with how it plays out. Lamaisa if it rains on the first night of sukkah.